It is so good to be with you once again. For today, we want to look at what I call compassion in action. And so we're going to start with a reference in Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, and in verse 8, a very well-known verse that we'll read together. Zechariah 3 and verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. I want you to notice two expressions in this verse. First of all, men wondered at. Remember, Zechariah is a prophet, prophesying the coming Messiah. And so, as another translation says, men to be observed as signs and types. Men of significance, those prophets that would point toward Christ's coming. And then notice, my servant, the branch. And we will see that this, my servant, the branch, is fulfilled in Mark's gospel, which will be our theme this morning. So we have to think from this verse. First of all, the point is, in this verse, Christ was prophesied to come to this earth way back in Zechariah's time. Why would Christ come to this earth? The big reason is so that God can be satisfied. It is only as God is satisfied that Christ's work will be an accomplished, finished work. It is to satisfy the heart of God. Now we also, as we think of Christ here, my servant will come. We connect Christ with service here. And so it is, as we think of Christ, the perfect servant, and then we think of how we emulate Christ, our service for Christ comes into play. And why are we servants of Christ? It's to glorify God. That is the first and primary reason that we go forth in service for our Lord, to glorify Him, never to satisfy others. It's always to glorify God. So as we think of that, what are the features, we can ask ourselves, of Christ that satisfied God in His work here on earth? Because we know that God is satisfied with Jesus. So what are some of the characteristics that caused God's satisfaction in His beloved Son? And here's where Mark comes into play. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for the key verse for the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 10 and in verse 45, we read, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and give His life a ransom for many." Now, first of all, I just want to look at two points in this book, this particular verse. For even the Son of Man came. Notice the title of Christ as Son of Man. He is connected to this earth with that title, Son of Man. Every word in Scripture is very important and not to be glanced over. Not the Son of God. It's the same blessed person, but as Son of Man, because He came to this earth. And then we see he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to be a servant, and also to give his life a ransom for many. Not a ransom for all, a ransom for many. That is, only those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. He came as a ransom for us who know him as our Savior. So just that, to see in that key verse those points. And then, as we have in Mark's Gospel, our Savior as that perfect servant. Our behavior should emulate the behavior of Christ. In our service for the Lord, our behavior should emulate Christ and his behavior on this earth. And for this, I want to point you to Philippians chapter 2 for a little different thought in connection with a well-known passage in Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to look specifically at verses 5 through 8. And we'll read them together now. And it starts out, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now I want you, we often read this at the breaking of bread, and certainly it's a very wonderful passage to read at the breaking of bread. But I want you to notice something about these verses. The blood of Christ is not mentioned in these verses. If the blood were mentioned in these verses, it could only apply to Christ himself as the perfect servant. But we can see here an application to how our lives should emulate that of Christ. And I just want to point out a few things in these verses. Let this mind, in verse 5, this way of thinking, or this mind among you. It's the thought of this way of thinking be in you. And then that word was. In the original, it's a word that we can't translate accurately into English. The best we can say, it's a combination of was and is. Was, is. That mind be in you which was in Christ, is in Christ. That's the best we can do in the English language. Was also in Christ Jesus. And notice, it's Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ Jesus speaks of Christ risen and ascended and seated at his Father's right hand. Then, in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, obviously, we understand fully that Christ is the eternal Son. He is God over all, blessed forever, co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And so we see in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and made in the likeness of men. Of course, Christ in sinless perfection, as he was that perfect servant, he was without sin, but he came in the likeness of men and was found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, what are the features of Christ that we are to emulate as we have him before us as that perfect servant? Well, first of all, What is the definition of a servant? It is one that will obey his master. The servant of Christ obeys God. He obeys God's word. Now, there's a portion that I'd like to also look at in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. To give us a little more light on this. And in Romans 6 and verse 22, we read, "But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Now again, I want you to emphasize the word now in that verse, in verse 22. Now that you have accepted, that I have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we're free from the burden of sin and become the servants of God. We are servants of God. Now, our fruit, what we are doing as servants, our fruit, unto holiness. Now, what does that mean? Our service, if it's going to be honoring to Christ and glorifying Him, has to be unto holiness. Another word we might put in that word of similar meaning is sanctification. And that simply means setting ourselves apart, away from anything that's sinful, and separating ourselves to God. There's two aspects: separating from the world, from sin, from evil doctrine, and separating to God and to Christ Himself. And if we do that, our fruit, the result of our service for the Lord, will be pleasing to Him. And then we think, as we turn to Mark chapter 1, just a few more introductory thoughts regarding service. In Mark chapter 1, we will notice something as we go through the thoughts on compassion that we're going to get to very shortly. Oftentimes in Mark's gospel, we find the word immediately, or the word straightway, or something suggestive, a synonym of those two words. And that thought of immediacy, straightway, occurs approximately 41 times. I'm not going to argue with a number, but it's around 40, 41 times in Mark's gospel. Do you realize that in all of the New Testament, we have the word immediately or straightway, or a word similar to that, approximately 180 times? So those of you that are mathematicians among us, we find that approximately a fourth of all the times the word immediately is found in Mark's gospel. And so one characteristic that stands out is a servant obeys immediately, straightway. So that's one thought. And then we also think in terms of obedience to the Apostle Paul. Keep your finger here and just look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, where we read, "Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Notice how Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, tells us, "I have been appointed by the Holy Spirit, by God Himself, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." He is doing God's service for God. Okay, so now, if we now ask the question, what satisfies the heart of God in our service? We see that there are seven testimonies in the Gospel of Mark that will give us great indication of how we are to serve the Lord. seven testimonies, the greatness of Christ. And if I have time, I'll give you a list of the other six, but we're going to talk about one in the moments that remain, and that is compassion. And we're going to talk about the five times in the book of Mark we find the word compassion. Because if we are going to be servants for Christ, we must use compassion. So let's see how it's used in the Gospel of Mark. Now, the first one is in Mark chapter 1 and in verse 41. And just to get the connection, we're going to start reading at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was clean. And straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. Now, first of all, we have to be clear in our understanding of what compassion means. Compassion is a deep feeling that we, or anyone, faces, a positive emotion, something alike to really showing love to the person. But the thing with compassion is, there is action required on the part of the person showing compassion. It's not simply love, but it's doing something to demonstrate compassion. So we have to keep that in mind now in all five of these examples we have here. We have in verse 40 a leper. Leprosy in Scripture speaks of sin. So we have a leper, picture of sin, came to the Lord, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knew it was God's desire that he not be in this leprous condition. He knew that in order to please God, he had to get rid of this leprosy. So we have that, and then we see how the Lord was moved with compassion. It's always good when you come to terms in Scripture that we want to build some doctrine on, and I think maybe we should do this, take the time to show us what's the first time we find leprosy mentioned in Scripture. I think this is important. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, and we read in verse 6, speaking of Moses, and I want to make a point with this, so we're going to read verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and he took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous as snow. This is the first time we find leprosy mentioned in Scripture. And notice how when Moses put his hand in his bosom, it became leprous as snow. Now, let's come back to our verses that we read in Mark chapter 1. Now, notice in verse 41, a beauty of all words of Scripture. Jesus moved with compassion. Where did he put his hand? He put forth his hand and touched him. Think of Moses' hand becoming as leprous as snow when God was demonstrating to Moses the importance of following him. And here the Lord, with this leper, put forth his hand. An interesting detail of Scripture connecting us back to the first time the word leprosy is used. And so we see here it's God's desire to remove the leprosy from this man. And so we also think, as we think of hands, what are hands used for? They're used for service for God. So, very quickly, we can say here, when the Lord was showing compassion to this man, we learn that, first of all, in order to serve the Lord, we have to have trusted him as our Savior. Have our sins removed, having trusted Christ. We can't serve him in a leprous condition. Secondly, we know that only the Lord can remove our sins. And the other thought that we have here is verse 44. He saith unto this man who is cleansed of the leprosy, see thou say nothing to any man. He does not want the leper to seek, the cleansed leper, to seek his own glory. This is something that the Lord has done for him. So, that is the first reference. Then moving on to Mark chapter 5, we say find the second reference. And we read in verse 19, this is the maniac of Gadara. And again, this is another individual. And we can, if we had time, we'd go through the details of what this man was. He was had a demon living inside of him, and this demon was causing him to suffer many things. But in verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for him, and hath had compassion on thee. Now, if just to get a little background, in verses 1 through 5, we see how helpless the man was to deliver himself from this demon. And interestingly enough, going then to verse 7, notice how the demon addresses God as the Most High God. Another interesting and instructive detail. That at times that there is any scriptures where the demons address God, the Most High God. Why? Because Satan desires to rule over mankind. And we got to remember that when all the attacks of the enemy, it's his desire. He knows his time is short, but it's his desire to rule over men. And so he'll always, not that he has any reverence for God or anything, but uses that term to signify his desire to rule. He was grasping for the Most High place. That's work of Satan. But we think of Christ, the very opposite, meek and mild. And so then in verse 19, as we read, why did the Lord tell this healed man to let others know? Well, certainly because the Lord had shown compassion on him, he is to show compassion on others. And if you notice in verse 19, the Lord suffered him not, go home. And where's the place? First place we need to show compassion? It is with those we are most familiar, in the home setting. Just as any service for the Lord begins in the home setting. And that's a principle of Scripture. Some of the Lord's people want to go to faraway fields, want to do mighty things. But service for the Lord starts at home. And so we learn that from this incident with compassion. And interesting, another detail that I just can't keep from pointing to is in verse 20, he departed and to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done unto him. Do you realize Decapolis is a city, a section of 10 cities? Numbers in Scripture are important. The number 10 speaks of responsibility. So in effect, the Lord is teaching us, you start at your home circle. That's your place of first responsibility as a newborn believer. And so it's important to see that. And of course, it's also connected with the kingdom truth that the Lord is teaching. The third reference to compassion is in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. And here, now the first two were individuals that the Lord showed compassion to. Now in verse 34 of chapter 6, we have a multitude that he shows compassion to. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach many things. Okay, this is the time when the 5,000 were fed. And I believe this is the only miracle in Scripture that is in all four Gospels. So this is very important. You know, anytime there's repetition in Scripture, it's for our benefit, for emphasis, so that we really get the point. And so we have here. Notice just very quickly in verse 31, before this took place, the disciples were told to rest a while. This is the only time that the Lord told his own to rest. Otherwise, they were to be out in service, in action for him. And so then we come that he departed. They departed into a desert place, a ship privately. Again, that suggests the holiness of separation from the world element. And the people saw them depart, and then he came unto them and was moved with compassion. Servants are working. They're not resting. The Lord will never call someone who is simply kind of lazy into his service. You'll find that those that the Lord uses are busy and active for in his service. And so we learn here that the Lord uses those who are busy. And then notice how he began to teach the people. How important it is that teaching go along with service for the Lord. That we are learning as we meditate on God's word, as we attend meetings as he has asked us to do, and as we can attend conferences to learn more of the things of Christ so that our service may be suitable for our blessed Lord. And so, and when the day was now far spent, in verse 35, the disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. So we see here how important it is to be with the Lord, and then he will guide us in service. Next one is in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 2. Well, that's verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and have nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto them and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. Numbers are very important in this particular incident. 3 days journey, the death and resurrection of our Lord. 4,000 in being fed, universal testimony, testimony to the four corners of the earth. 7 loaves, 7, the number of completeness, the number of perfection. There were even 7 baskets left over. Again, perfection in service. And so here we have Christ showing compassion and also his divine power in along with compassion in feeding the 4,000. The fifth and last time we find compassion, Mark chapter 9 and in verse 22. Let's go back to verse 20. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Here we see two persons in turmoil, a father and a son. And we see how he had compassion on this one who was troubled in this manner. And notice in verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I just want to emphasize that little prepositional phrase, with tears. The father cried out with tears. As we think of the lost and the perishing around us, and as we are praying for them, are we praying that for them with tears, with deep compassion of heart for those that are lost and on their way to a Christless eternity? I think that's an important point in connection with this time that the Lord uses compassion. And then just for those of you that might be taking notes, the other six characteristics in Mark, I'll just give you the points. Alone and devoted to God. He was alone and devoted to God. He was tested and yet always dependent. He was a teacher. He prepared his disciples for conflict. He was humble in all that he did as that perfect servant. And then he involved others in service for him. And we could say something. There's several scriptures in connection with each one. But I just thought that this would be something. It goes along sort of with some of the things we had yesterday too. So I trust this will be of help and encouragement to each one of us as we go on in service for our Lord. Maybe we could close with a word of prayer. Our blessed God and Father, how we thank Thee for Thy beloved Son. How we thank Thee that He came to this earth to do Thy will. We thank Thee that He is that perfect servant as Mark would develop in his gospel. And we would pray that our service for Thee might be such that would be suitable to Thyself and would glorify Thee. We especially think of the gospel in this connection and going out, helping souls to hear and to learn of their need for Christ, who is the only hope in this wicked world. We just bow down in worship and adoration and praise. We thank Thee for the privilege we had this morning in remembering our blessed Lord and showing forth His death until He comes back for us. We thank Thee for the children that are with us and how we pray that they may grow to love and adore that one who came and had love for children as well. We pray for the parents, bringing them up for Thy honor and glory, O God, in this wicked and adulterous generation in which we live. And so we give thanks for the testimony here at Mawa. We pray for continued blessing on their efforts here. We thank Thee for the increase in numbers we see here. And we just pray that each one of us will desire to grow in our knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and have that mind of Christ. And so we pray for these things. We give thanks for this time together as we ask this all in and through the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.